Welcome to the Standing Up to POTS podcast, otherwise known as the POTScast. This podcast is dedicated to educating and empowering the community about postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, commonly referred to as POTS. This invisible illness impacts millions, and we are committed to explaining the basics, raising awareness, exploring the research, and empowering patients to not only survive, but thrive. This is the Standing Up to POTS podcast.
Hello, fellow POTS patients and beautiful people who care about POTS patients. I'm Jill Brook, your horizontal host, and today we have an episode of POTS Diaries Updates with a very exciting update from Maddie, who was with us in episode 83. Maddie, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
So last we left you, you were in Upper Michigan, you had a wonderful service dog, and you were blacking out a lot. Is that your memory as well?
It is.
Okay. So hopefully everybody will go and listen to episode 83. And if you can give us a little bit of maybe 30 seconds about what state you were in when we last talked to you and what has happened since then, that would be great.
Yeah, so I'm still living in Michigan. I'm 18 now. The other podcast was a couple of years ago, I believe. Now, I still have my dog. He doesn't do public service work anymore. He developed an anxiety that impacted his ability to do tasks. So he still helps me at home, not so much in the public setting. I'm not blacking out near as much, thankfully, about once a month. So that's good improvement. Overall, I would say I'm a lot more functional than I was then. I've had a decrease in POTS symptoms. And then what I didn't really focus on last podcast, I was also dealing with a lot of mobility challenges. Those I would say probably honestly got worse after we last spoke, but then with some recent treatments have gotten significantly better. And so those symptoms are less, POTS symptoms are less, neither are cured as expected, but a lot better and a lot more functional now.
Yeah. So after we had spoken to you, we had said, you know, let us know if anything interesting happens. And I think before you got in touch with us, you actually stopped being able to really walk, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So it was kind of, I started in 2021 in January. My POTS symptoms began. I got a lot of dizziness, the fainting, all the stuff that we're all too familiar with. And then I didn't have any change in my movement patterns at the time, but I would say like my lifestyle was a little bit more sedentary just because it was so hard to be upright. And then about 6 months later or so, I think it was August of 2021, I started having more issues with my mobility and changes in my movement pattern. That was kind of the start of like these abnormal movements and gait patterns and stuff. And that progressively got worse until I went into inpatient rehabilitation, and that was in February of 2023.
So can you say it in plain language? Like, I know you're talking about like some mobility issues and movement patterns, but like to a five-year-old, can you say what was going on with your walking?
Yeah, so I was having a lot of trouble like staying upright. My balance was affected. My knees would kind of like cave in and give out. Basically, what was happening is that my nervous system was going a little bit crazy, and the neural pathways, the signaling of the brain that like tells the body what to do, there was like abnormal signaling in those like neural pathways is probably the easiest way to describe it.
So how unable to walk or able to walk were you? Like, how bad was it? Could you walk to school? Could you grocery shop? Could you go for a walk? Could you exercise? What was happening?
Not really. From a school perspective, what I did before I went into inpatient, it was my junior year of high school. So I would walk to my morning classes. And by walk, honestly, it was barely even walking, but they were a short enough distance that I could get there in about 10 minutes, which is still a pretty significant amount of time for something that used to take me 1 minute. But it was very slow. It was painful because it would cause falls. I just didn't feel like I could like give in to any sort of mobility aid or anything. So I did what I could in the morning. And then in the afternoon, my classes were just so spread out that like it wasn't feasible to walk. I would be missing class, missing lunch. So in the afternoon, I would use a wheelchair. I didn't really grocery shop or go out a whole lot. It was just too exhausting and slow and not really honestly even walking at that point. I remember my first day that, which I think we'll get into a little bit later, but when I was admitted to the hospital, the therapist did their assessments and the physical therapist did hers, and 4 feet was the distance that I could walk before like my knee hit the ground, and that's like the end of the test once you have like any sort of fall or anything. So 4 feet was like my maximum.
4 feet?
Yeah.
Wow. So you were 16 years old and you could walk 4 feet before your knees hit the ground. That sounds rough.
Yeah. I was probably 17 when it got that bad, but yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. And so it sounds like at that point you decided to go to a program in a hospital, or what is it that you decided to do at that point?
So for a while we were going to different doctors. They were telling us different things, pretty unhelpful things, to be honest. They were like, there's nothing we can do. Like, go figure it out. Like, maybe you're stressed, whatever.
They said you couldn't walk more than 4 feet because maybe you were stressed.
Pretty much, yeah. I had a couple of doctors that were like, we can't see this on a picture, so you must be crazy. Like, go work it out with a therapist. And that, I think, is one of the biggest issues, is that when doctors can't see something on, like, a picture, like an MRI or something, we don't fit into a box. And so then it's like, well, we don't know, so it must be you. So for a while, honestly, pretty unhelpful. I was doing a little bit of outpatient, and then it was getting worse. I was to a point where I was, like, very upset in the way the medical system was treating me and just not able to do as much as I wanted in my life. I was a junior in high school, so I was like, this time is going fast. Like, I want to be able to go to college and be independent and stuff. So I sent my neurologist a letter, and I was like, here's where I'm at. I can't do a lot. I want to be able to do a lot more. I think that I need like more intensive physical rehabilitation, because outpatient a couple times a week isn't cutting it. It's maybe helping a tiny bit, maybe not, but it's not helping me be where I want to be. So I need you to refer me to someone that can help me. And whether it be this place or if you have another place in mind, that's fine. But I need something, because like, I can't do this alone. And she referred me to a physical medicine and rehabilitation doctor at a hospital that the entire hospital, like, what they do is physical medicine and rehabilitation. For people who don't know what that is, it's like using like physical and occupational therapies and stuff to heal the body and get better. So I was referred to that doctor. He evaluated me, talked to me, and agreed that like where I was at was A, not safe, and B, it wasn't like a very high quality of life. And so he was like, you honestly need like inpatient rehabilitation. You need like a lot more intensive than just outpatient. So then within less than 2 weeks, I was admitted inpatient to this hospital.
Was this far from home, or was this in Michigan?
In Michigan, about 3 hours away. So definitely a little bit of a drive, not super feasible in terms of like my parents being able to just run home and run back and stuff, but in the state at least.
Okay, so you packed up and you prepared for how long of a stay?
No one could tell me. That was the fun thing. They were like, we're not really sure how long it'll be. When I got there, the inpatient doctor was like, traditionally, people like you, we might see for about 2 weeks, but if it's not working out, it could be sooner. Or if you get better really fast, it could be sooner. Or if it takes more time, it could be longer. So the total time spent inpatient was 5 weeks, and then 2 weeks intensive outpatient at the same hospital. It actually would have been all of that inpatient, but insurance was really fun and decided that even though the doctor said I needed to stay, they decided that I didn't need to stay inpatient.
Oof. So 7 weeks intensive. Okay, so what happened at this program? What was a day like there?
So I would have occupational and physical therapy every day. I would have 2 sessions of each, an hour session and a half hour session of each. So that itself is 3 hours. And then I would have probably close to an hour of time where I would devote to like working on in my hospital room, the exercises that they would give me and stuff. That was kind of at minimum. They could also throw in extra therapy sessions. So it could be more than that. There were also like a couple other therapies. We had like recreational therapy, which was a little bit more fun, but still working on like improving movement and stuff. And then I also had like a couple blocks in the day where I could work on schoolwork so that I wasn't falling behind. And that was built into my schedule. So from about 8:30 to 4, that was like the part of my day that was like therapy, some schoolwork, some breaks in between, but pretty much the day was full of that. And then after that, I could have like my parents to visit. I would have my dinner and wind down, and it was exhausting. So rest.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were the exercises like that you were doing during this time?
Lots of different ones. It was a gradual approach, definitely, but we did a lot of different things to help. The first thing was that, like, I was having so much trouble being upright. So they were like, okay, what if we just like eliminate gravity? So they got me in the pool pretty quickly. They had a pool there, and I did a lot of aquatic therapy because then we can focus on like just getting the movement patterns right with the water kind of holding me up, and then a body weight supported treadmill. And then we kind of gradually went away from the support, like going from doing pool therapy every day to every other day and stuff. And then after we kind of moved away from like the body weight support and the treadmill, we would go to handlebars. So they were like parallel bars, which is basically just like two bars on each side for your hands to hold onto. So then we went to those. Once I mastered that, we went to a walker. Once I kind of found my way around walker, we went to two like forearm crutches. So that was kind of the gradual approach, I would say. But some other things that we did, they actually had music therapists at the hospital, which I had no idea what this was, but they can time out like the beat of your steps, and they can find like songs or metronomes that match that. And that kind of helps the brain be like, okay, on the beat, I have to take a step, stuff like that. We used some bracing to support like my ankles. There was like some of the therapists worked on like stimulating the nervous system. So they would do these things where they would like push on my legs and like put like as like a sensory input almost, I would say. And like one therapist talked to us about like kind of what was happening, because after the session, I was like, I can like feel my feet in a way that I haven't in literally a year. She was like, well, that's because you haven't been jumping any year. You can barely walk. So how could you jump? So she was like pushing kind of up and down, and that like gave the input in my brain of like what that movement pattern is. And then we also found that we think some of the issue was the communication between the two sides of my brain, because we started to do things that were like right brain, left brain exercises, like cross body training. And after I did those, like I would be able to move better. So kind of like that input into like feeding the brain into like right communication pathways. And then around a lot of just like repetition of movements, only using good movement patterns. If I can't master a movement pattern in a certain thing, then taking a step back. Like if I can only walk well in therapy sessions with a therapist guiding me through the exercises, then I shouldn't be doing anything alone yet, and I should be using a wheelchair all other times. So just so that we're only feeding the good neural pathways, basically.
So did they have any idea how your neural pathways had kind of gone bad? Because it sounds like you had a worse thing than just POTS. Did this have a name, or is it just something that can happen?
So functional neurologic disorder is kind of like a broad overview that encompasses part of what was going on with those abnormal pathways. So definitely not, it's not like a symptom of POTS or anything, but POTS, I would say, like predisposed me to getting it. Just that, like being so dizzy all the time, that little bit sedentary lifestyle, mm-hmm. My brain kind of like lost the ability somewhat of like being upright in a way. And then I also have hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Mm-hmm. So everything was like so stretchy that when I walked, like my ankle would flip from underneath me. Mm-hmm. And that also was another like factor that predisposed me. And then I also have this thing in my ankle called clonus, which it's a reflex unrelated to these neuropathways. And we're still trying to figure out what's causing it actually. But it basically, if I like bend it at all, it just spasms. So without my brace, I can't really walk well because it just like spasms and I get stuck on my toes essentially.
Wow. Okay, so 5 weeks inpatient plus another 2 intensive outpatient. How hard was that? It sounds lonely. It sounds grueling. What was it like emotionally?
It was hard, but the like place that I was in, like all of the therapists, the nurses, the doctors, like honestly were amazing. And it was like a place where like everybody who's there is working to get better from an injury or an illness or whatever. And so like honestly, I would look forward to every day of therapy because like it was like so intensive and so much therapy that like I got to see these changes. It wasn't just them being like, oh, okay, you have like a little bit of a better score on this test. Like I got to like actively experience being better. So it was honestly exciting and not that difficult mentally because I had been like walking so badly for so long that I really wanted this for myself. It was hard being so far away from home that I couldn't like have like a bunch of friends come in and stuff. But so that was a little hard, but kind of benefits outweigh the cost.
Yeah. And hospital food is famously bad. Was it for you?
Yes. And I'm gluten free and extremely picky. So I pretty much ate grilled cheese for a month. I think it was like so limited and gluten free. And that was actually probably the hardest thing, honestly.
But at the end of it, how functional were you? And let's just remind everybody that beforehand, you could only make it 4 feet before your knees hit the ground. So that makes me think you really were only making it about 2.5 feet before you started falling down.
Yeah, I don't remember how many feet I was when I was discharged. It was a lot more than 4 feet. And I remember like doing it. It's called the 6-minute walk test. I remember doing that test with my therapist and she was like, Maddie, you just walked this many feet. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so good. I'm so excited. And then I was like, what is the normal amount of feet? And she told me, and I was like, oh, because I was still probably like, I don't know how far away I was from the normal, but I was pretty far from the normal, even though it was a lot more than. But I wasn't having any falls by the time I left. I was discharged on 2 forearm crutches. So different than the kind when you break your leg, there's like a handle and they're kind of used more for like a balance perspective and stuff. I was discharged with those. I was walking, not at a normal speed, but faster than I came in, safer. It took a lot less energy to walk. That was one of the big things, like walking in such a messed up pattern, like that took a lot out of me. It was very fatiguing. So I was discharged with those. And then I was discharged in April. By, I think it was July, maybe. That's when I lost the crutches. I was done with those, only left with the brace that controls that spasming that I was talking about. And then now it's January we're recording. I would say that my walking doesn't really like affect me at all anymore. Might be a little different than a normal person's with the brace, but not much. If so, I can keep up a normal speed. So my walking is pretty much, I would say, like back to normal. I can't like run in a way that I was able to anymore. I'm working on it. I'm at 1.5 minutes before I get too tired. But so I don't have like the best like balance and endurance as other people, but definitely a lot better.
Wow. So tell me what that felt like when you got rid of your forearm braces.
It was really exciting. It was, at first it was a little hard, but it was exciting not having to drag those around everywhere and not having people comment on them. And like, it was exciting. Because it was like another step in the right direction.
Yeah, for real. And what is it like now to walk? Do you think about it or do you just do it automatically? Is it exciting? Is it anything special?
I honestly don't think about it much anymore. Still, like I still think about, you know, like having been in the hospital and stuff. So I still like think about that. And it's definitely like rewarding from that aspect. But like, I used to have to think about, like, okay, I put my heel down, then bring my toes forward. And, like I had spent so much time walking abnormally, like, I had to, like, consciously think about all of that. I didn't believe my physical therapist when she told me that people move their arms when they walk. I was like, no, people don't swing their arms when they walk. She's like, yes, Maddie, they do. You have to do that. But I don't really have to think about it like that anymore.
Wow. Okay, so I mean, what is next? So what are you working toward now? I know you said running, but can we ask what else is going on in your life and what else is new or interesting and what are your current goals or plans?
I still want to get better at running. I've been working on it for a little over 2 months now. I'm still kind of at that minute and a half mark, and I can do a minute and a half probably like four times with walk-in breaks in between. So I want to get that a lot better. I used to be a cross-country runner, so I want to get back into normal running. I'm hoping I might do tennis this spring, and then going to college definitely is a goal. I want to go into nursing school, which I know is on your feet a lot. So doing my best to get there.
Wow, that's so exciting and so wonderful. Do you have any advice for people listening who might be working on improving some aspect of their physical performance?
Don't give up. There's unfortunately a lot of people out there who maybe can't help or won't help, but there's a lot of people out there who can help and will help and will care about your journey. And so keep fighting until you find those people that you trust that are not going to give up on you and that are going to go through this journey with you, because there's hope out there. I promise there's hope. There was a point where I was like I honestly don't know if I'm going to be able to like walk again. Like I'm in high school. How is this happening? I had absolutely no idea what my future meant. I wasn't confident in being able to go to college. So there's definitely hope out there once you find the right team of people. You just have to find those people that can help you. And then it won't be easy. There will be a lot of work involved, but it'll pay off.
Beautiful. Well, Maddie, congratulations and thank you for sharing your story with us. We
Yeah.
so appreciate it. And I just know that everybody listening is so happy for you. And I hope you'll send us a picture of you out there walking.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. We'll be back again next week, but until then, thank you for listening. Remember, you're not alone, and please join us again soon.
As a reminder, anything you hear on this podcast is not medical advice. Consult your healthcare team about what's right for you. This show is a production of Standing Up to POTS, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can send us feedback or make a tax-deductible donation at www.standinguptopots.org. You can also engage with us on social media at the handle Standing Up to POTS. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing to our podcast and sharing it with your friends and family. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts or at www.thepotscast.com. Thanks for listening.